Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport. Game Day, your verdict.
Well, it was another cracking day in the Premier League and it delivered some great entertainment on game day with TalkSport. Manchester United suffered a loss to Bournemouth, Manchester City and Liverpool both came from behind to win, and there was another victory for Frank Lampard's Chelsea. Here is the very best of the reaction to the day's football from all over the country on both the full-time phone-in with Adrian Durham and Mickey Gray and your verdict with me, Laura Woods and Darren Bent. This is Game Day, Your Verdict, the podcast. Right, let's get straight into it then and head over to the Vitality Stadium with Sam Matterface.
And that's enough. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's 50th Premier League match as a Premier League manager ends as his first did, in defeat. Bournemouth end Manchester United's mini-revival by beating them for the third time in their history. Only the third time in their history. It's a win that for now takes them into the top six, above Manchester United, who are closer to the bottom three than the top four. And the man that done it, who inflicted the damage just before half-time, was a man who was recommended to Manchester United by the current Manchester United boss. Josh King, where's the crown? It's Bournemouth 1, Manchester United 0.
Let's bring in Sam Davis from the Back of the Nets Bournemouth podcast. Sam, welcome to TalkSport 2. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, Adrian. Not bad at all.
Good to speak to you. Were you getting a bit worried that you might never score again? Not just three games without a goal. You lost 1-0 at Arsenal, which actually is becoming quite an achievement, losing at Arsenal. Couldn't score against Norwich at home. Couldn't even score at Watford. And I was at that game last week. Were you getting a little bit nervous about these lack of goals?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's great that we've got some kind of defensive solidity at last, because we haven't had that for a long time. During our stint in the Premier League, we've been known as high scorers, but also high conceders. So until the match at home against Norwich, we'd conceded in every match. That would have been one that we would have hoped to have won. And then we got, as you say, 0-0 at Watford, which, I mean, not bad result, but yeah, to win 1-0 today, superb. But there was always the sort of element of doubt that have we sacrificed our defensive potency? Our attacking potency because of our, defensive solidity.
Sam, sorry, it's Mickey. Hi. It's obviously a fantastic win for you today. You talk about not scoring goals. I mean, what are the expectations for Bournemouth this season? I mean, Eddie Howe's been there for quite a long time now. You know, is it time that they've reached that next level? I mean, I'm not saying that they're ready for Europe, but is that what they should be challenging for?
I think it probably is, based on what we've been spending. I mean, when you look at the size of the club, you would say that treading water and finish anything above 17th would be absolutely fine. However, given the personnel that we've got, and I know the aims, of Eddie aren't just to be a club that treads water. I think, a top 10 finish might be feasible. I think the E word for Europa might be a little bit too soon. However, I think we just want an increased points tally, really, because although in one of the seasons, I think our second in the Premier League, we got our highest ever finish of 9th. That was on 46 points. So it's a little bit false, really, because any other season that would have put us in 13th or 14th. So more than 46 points and maybe a meaningful cup run, because Bournemouth fans cannot stand the fact that we put out our second string in the FA Cup and always get knocked out.
Just talk to me about Steve Cook, because the commentary today, Stuart Pearce was raving about him. And there was a conversation between him and our commentator, Sam Matterface, as to, I mean, they were kind of flippant about him being picked for England. And to be honest with you, I can't see it happening. But there's been times when I've watched Steve Cook and thought, wow, there's literally nothing going to get past him. He's like a brick wall sometimes.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to be honest, obviously, we've seen Tyrone Mings and he's been picked for England. And I think that Steve Cook is technically the better footballer. But obviously, age isn't on his side. It was his 150th Premier League appearance today, and he's been a stalwart in the side. And I think he's perhaps not as heralded more than, you know, some other players because of the fact he plays alongside Nathan Ake, who seems to get the plaudits week in, week out. And, that you know, there's not many Nathan Ake performances that are less than an 8 out of 10. So I think, you know, it's fortunate that he has a great combination, you know, playing alongside the Dutchman. However, he is always overlooked. But yeah, you're right. He is a brick wall at times and he puts his body on the line. And he's been such an effective player for us and one that has, you know, come up through the Championship and into the Premier League and has taken it all in stride, really.
I agree with them. I was listening to the commentary today when I was coming to the Etihad, Adrian and Sam, and, you know, the lads were, they were building up Cook and saying he was having a fantastic game. But
he's only 28, Mickey. Is that too old?
I don't know, Adrian. When I look at him, you know, is he robust? Is he a last-ditch challenge man? Yes. Is he consistent? Yes, he is. Well, has he got that quality to play for England? Look, I'm not being disrespectful, but I don't know if he has. And I think Gareth Southgate looks as if he's going in a different direction. When you look at the youth in the squad that they've got now, I just think that opportunity might have passed him by. But then again, you know, Sam just... you just mentioned it before about playing alongside Nathan Ake. Look, you are lucky to have him at your club. I think he's good enough to play for any of the top six sides. I really do. I know where he started his career, obviously. But I see him every week. And yes, sometimes he's got a bit of a mistake in him. But you name me a centre-half who hasn't. There's probably only Van Dijk.
After a run of three impressive wins, it comes to an end down here. What do you think the problem was today?
They got the first goal. Moment of magic, I have to say, with Josh. And we just couldn't find the quality that we needed today to break through a stubborn Bournemouth team. I thought they defended really well. We just couldn't capitalise on our decent start. I felt we created openings, got down our right-hand side, and we just couldn't get the finishing touch.
Was that the problem? You hit the post as well through Mason Greenwood towards the end. You had a couple of opportunities early on. I think the record says you've got 4 shots on target, but there were half chances in that first few moments as well. Did you just not maximise those?
Yeah. When you don't score, you're not going to win a game of football. And today, their keeper had a few decent saves. We had some strikes off the target, hit the post, but most of it's like from outside the box. We couldn't carve them open and get the big chances that we hope for.
How much did the conditions play a part today? Because they weren't great, were they? Especially in the first half.
Yeah, not great, but you can't use that as an excuse. Because I felt it's the same for both teams. Sometimes the ball stopped in the air, but that's just as difficult for strikers as defenders.
What is your hope that this defeat doesn't obviously set you back again? You've had some good results. How do you continue that momentum that you did have prior to today?
Get a reaction. Of course, we've had a nice couple of weeks with some decent results and performances. When you get one of these, you need to react and bounce back. Thursday night is a chance for us to go through in Europe if we win that one, so we'll just focus on that one now.
The rumour is that you were the one who said that Manchester United should sign Josh King all those years ago. Did you regret it for a couple of minutes around the half-time mark?
You know, I followed Josh since he was since he came to United, and before then it was about 16 and he's developed into a top player. He's done really well for Norway, doing really well for Bournemouth, and I'm not happy he scored against us, but it's great to see him that he's having a good career.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Right, let's hear from Frank Lampard because he's been speaking to Tony and Chenzo. They are up to third in the Premier League after their win today.
Frank, a great win for you again. How do you feel?
I'm happy. Well deserved. Thought we played some great football. Big parts of the game. Should have scored more goals. It would have saved us a difficult last few minutes. But I can't take away from the players. Difficult conditions today. A lot of rain before the game. A team that are fighting because they're at the bottom of the table. and we completely dominated huge parts of the game. So I'm pleased.
Tammy Abraham scored the first one. He made the second. He's up to 10 goals now in League and Cup this season. After three loans out in the Championship, he's really stepped up to the Premier League plate, hasn't he?
Yeah, of course. And you know, I knew that with Tammy. I watched him a lot last year. And when I came here, I wanted to get him back. I wanted to get him playing and give him confidence, give him the number 9 shirt, all those things. And there's weight on those shoulders. And he's doing it. He's doing it. And that's because he's worked hard. He works hard daily in training. He shows enthusiasm. He wants to score. And he must keep that. He must keep that. If he's got that, then he's showing you what he can do.
Cruising at 2-0, and then VAR comes in and there's a big delay. What do you make of all that today?
Well, the longer the delay went on, the more worried I became, because I know last week lots of penalties were overturned. I think it was pretty outspoken, the fact that there were some that shouldn't have been. Today shouldn't have been. It wasn't a clear penalty. The referee's decision was not clear. VAR didn't see anything different to a tiny touch. The softest of penalties, if it had been given, again, from what I'm hearing, the referees want to do is not overturn things unless it's absolutely clear. It wasn't that case. So really, really disappointed, because the game was pretty much finished. Not quite, because we hadn't scored enough goals for the chances we created. And that gave the game life again from their point of view.
There you go. That was Frank Lampard speaking after that 2-1 win at Vicarage Road. What I like about Frank Lampard is he's still complaining about those incidents in that game. They've won the game, but there's that ruthless, that winning mentality in him, isn't it? He doesn't just want to win a game or scrape through a game. He wants to see the game out. He wants to kill the game off. What did you think about the penalty incident? Were you with it, or are you against it?
When you look at the replay, it's a penalty. I mean, he's clipped his legs, and the way De La Feu goes down, yeah, it's a bit theatrical. But it is a penalty at the end of the day. He's gone past him. Jorginho's given the ball away, I think it was. He's got past him and he just kind of swiped his legs. And yeah, as I said, the reaction was a little bit over the top. But when he looks back in, you look at the contact, there is contact there. And as I said, it swings in roundabouts, because they had a stone waller against Tottenham that they didn't get. And today it might have been a bit soft, but for me, it was a penalty.
All right, Pulisic also scored today. He had a hat-trick last weekend. He arrived in the summer, but he's sort of announced his arrival properly to the Premier League in these last couple of weeks, giving Frank something to think about, giving him options. Tammy Abraham, of course, scored as well today. Mm. And he assisted Pulisic too. There's so many positives to take from Chelsea's performances at the moment. And they seem to now be weathering these tests. At the beginning of the season, we weren't sure whether they would weather tests against big teams. I'm not saying Watford necessarily up at the bottom of the Premier League, but they're starting to grow into this, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and I think the result last week, I mean, going away to Burnley, that's a hard place to go and get a result. And I think that really opened up a lot of people's eyes, because you expected Burnley, big physical, powerful team, to maybe bully Chelsea a little bit, let me make it difficult for them. But they went there and completely blew them away. And then today, getting the goal so early, that helped. And at the minute, they're playing with such confidence and such a freedom that they're surprising a lot of teams. But I think it's going to get to a stage where they're not going to be surprising teams, because people are going to be like, well, these are a good team now. We can take these seriously. These young kids are here to stay. They are getting better and they are establishing themselves. And at the minute, Frank's doing a fantastic job. And as you said, with Tammy Abraham, it is important. I understand what you're saying by giving Tammy that number 9 shirt, because, you know, you've got Olivier Giroud there, who's an established World Cup winner. Michy Batshuayi, international, Belgium international. So for you to give it that number 9, which is an iconic shirt, to such a young kid, I think was massive. And he's repaying him with the goals, and he's been brilliant. I mean, to score, I think he's got 9 goals this season, but to score 7 away from home, I mean, that is just amazing. That is fantastic for him, and he's only going to get better because he's so young.
Interestingly, Didier Deschamps was annoyed. He was complaining that Giroud wasn't getting enough game time, and then it's going to cause trouble for international selection. And Frank, I'm not going to prioritise the careers for international duty.
Well, there's a little bit going on between them two, because there's a whole Kante thing as well, wasn't there, with him. But listen, I understand it. At the end of the day, if you're on form, then you deserve. And Tammy Abraham, he's top scorer in the Premier League. He's been absolutely tremendous. Then, to be fair, if you ask him himself, he probably could have more, because a couple of times his finishes maybe let him down on a touch. So I'm telling you now, he could finish easily this season with more than 20 Premier League goals.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Mickey Gray, very quickly, I'm just going to read you a message from Lawrence, who has messaged us. It's after the Arsenal game. He's a gooner. He says, despite mostly being anonymous in the second half, Mesut Ozil's songs are being sung outside the ground, or were being sung outside the ground after the game. Everyone on the walk back up to the train station called for Unai Emery to go. Another lethargic performance from the team at home. He's referring to what you said about it being a long season. He says it's going to be an especially long season for Arsenal fans. He's unimpressed at this moment in time.
So what is that, Adrian? And if they're singing Mesut Ozil's name and he hasn't had a good game today, is that sarcasm?
You know, because they're singing for Emery to go, or they want Emery to go, but they are positive about Mesut Ozil. Are they after a manager? They don't think Emery can get the best out of Ozil, okay?
Yeah.
So they are they thinking, well, we want the player to be brilliant. They know he can be brilliant. What we need is a manager who consistently can get the best out of Mesut Ozil.
Well, did Arsene Wenger get the best out of Mesut Ozil?
No.
You know, exactly. Yeah.
And he went.
Unai Emery, yeah. And he went. So Unai Emery has got to think, right, what is my best 11? Is my best 11 without Mesut Ozil, which he obviously hasn't had a lot of game time this season. He played in midweek, which we talked about, for 60 minutes. He was excellent. He set up a wonderful goal, you know, a very audacious little flick. But by all accounts, he hasn't had a best performance today, from what I've just heard from Moose. So, I mean, how many opportunities does this guy keep getting? We know he's got the talent, but does he actually want to be in the Premier League, or is he just seeing out this big contract that he's on and waiting for an absolutely huge move when that contract runs out? Because that's the way it looks to me. I mean, and that for those chants outside of the ground, for all, it just sounds like sarcasm to me.
Right, let's head back to the Emirates. Arsenal took on Wolves today. They drew 1-1. Unai Emery, the Arsenal manager, with a Moose post-match.
Thanks a lot, Unai. First of all, 1-1 draw with Wolves today, but from where I was sitting, I thought Wolves are the better side. Do you agree with that?
Good evening. Yes, we played two matches at home against Crystal Palace, against Wolves, and we lost a very good opportunity to take that 6 points. But really, was different matches, and I think today this match we played, we tried, we started winning 1-0. We know we needed to score the second goal because that team is very consistent in 90 minutes, and they can take some chances, not a lot, but they can, or they could take that chances, and they scored for draw, and then we push it, we get in their box. We were getting their box for to create the chances, not very clear, but I think we deserved it the last minute also. We were more efficient in attacking third to score the second goal, but wasn't enough. And also we worked very well the transition, didn't concede a lot of transition for them, because they were very, very strong and good team in the transition, but wasn't enough. I think we lost a very good opportunity today.
You started Mesut Ozil. You haven't done for ages. Why did you start him today?
Yes, he worked it. He played well, and I think he's positive for us.
You think he played well today?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. In terms of the team look like they're lacking confidence, Unai. They really do look like there's just something missing. Is that right? Would you agree with that?
Yes, the good result gave us confidence, and the bad result maybe was lost a little that. But our way is continuing, and we draw the last two matches here at home, and here really I think we will feel confident and we will feel strong here with our supporters. But the last two matches, I think together we tried to do that, and we didn't do. But also, I think, for example, today against that team Wolves, they they show what also the strong defense structure and also I think the match was equal maybe thinking of the points for two teams, maybe we deserve it more than them, but I think it was very equal and different, the two teams. And the key was when we were winning 1-0 to manage that moment to score the second to take that result for us.
Finally from me, and I appreciate you always talking to us, your next two games are away from home, which might ease the pressure a little bit, but do you feel under pressure a little bit now? Results have gone against you in the last few weeks. Do you feel there's a little bit of pressure on you?
Demands, but I am very demanding myself.
Well, there you go. That's Unai Emery's verdict after the game. Mickey Gray is at the Etihad. I'm Adrian Durham at Villa Park. The Moose has been at the Emirates today. I've just got to ask you, I could see your face almost when you were asking that question about Mesut Ozil. He thought he played well, and you were saying something completely different, Moose. So who's right?
I think I'm right. I mean, I genuinely don't think he had a great game. I thought it was pretty average. He didn't do anything that necessarily impacted the game. And I thought I asked a perfectly reasonable question. You know, did you play well? Or do you think you played well? And Mesut Ozil, I didn't think he played well, but Unai Emery did. So I kind of looked at him and gave him an opportunity to change his mind, but he didn't.
Moose, the last five games that they've played, that's including the Sheffield United away game, which they lost, but the one win that they had in Europe, it took them till the 92nd minute to actually win that football match. The other game before that was Bournemouth, where they scored in the 7th minute. I think it was David Luiz got the goal. He was talking there when you asked the questions about scoring the second goal against Wolves today. Well, they did that against Crystal Palace. So it sounds to me like they need more than two goals to go out and win Premier League matches or football matches at the moment. There's something clearly wrong at the club. Do you think he's getting the best out of the players? Because I don't.
No, I agree with you. I don't think he is. That's why I asked him the question at the end about him being under pressure, because I think he is. And they've got Leicester away next week. If Chelsea are to win, which they're currently doing at Watford, there's now a real gap between Chelsea in fourth and Arsenal in fifth in the Premier League table. They've got to Leicester next week. I don't think that's at all winnable for this Arsenal team. And then you start to think, right, you know, are they going to finish top four this season? Probably not. That surely had to be the bare minimum remit. And I think whether or not Unai Emery stays beyond the end of this season, I'm not sure that we'll see him here next season if he doesn't get in the top four. And at the moment, I don't think this team can get in the top four.
Where do they go? Where do they go? If you know, if Unai Emery leaves the club, you know, where do they go? Who do they look for? I mean, what type of manager? Because they can't keep going down the route of bringing in somebody who they think is going to play the similar type of football as Arsene Wenger. Because if that's what Unai Emery's gone in to do, then they've just got it completely wrong. I mean, do they go down the route of somebody like Rafa Benitez? I mentioned Jose Mourinho before, Moose. I think he's too big for that club. I really do.
First of all, the stat is that in his first 48 games as Arsenal manager, I think he's got either 1 point less or the same number of points as Wenger in his last 48 games as Arsenal manager. So there's no difference at the moment between Emery as manager here in terms of what they're achieving and what they achieved in the last days or the last year or so under Arsene Wenger. Who do they go for? Well, Max Allegri is free. Jose Mourinho is free. Of course, David Dean pulled the rabbit out of the hat when Bruce Rioch was fired and gave us Arsene Wenger, who none of us knew anything about. I can't see the current Arsenal board doing that. But what you have to remember is that, although... Sorry?
That was the last century.
I know, exactly.
But there's another manager, Moose, that you just mentioned there, Allegri. Is he too big for it? You know, I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek. I really believe that. You know, you're talking about two very, very successful guys. Are they actually going to walk into Arsenal with that squad of players that they've got?
Well, this club, I mean, has won a couple of FA Cups, but in terms of challenging meaningfully for the title, hasn't done so in now over a decade. I get what you're saying, but, you know, you walk around the Emirates, they still think they're one of the biggest clubs in the land. Now, whether they are one of the biggest clubs in the land or not, it's for everyone out there to debate. Wolves... physical team, backroom staff rather, just moving some of the bikes around that they're going to put on the coach. That's the noise you can hear behind me. The question was, are the managers too big for Arsenal? Maybe they are. It depends what you think the job here at Arsenal is. It's surely gone beyond rebuilding now, but there just doesn't seem to be a lot here. I mean, you know, if Aubameyang doesn't score or the centre-halves don't score from a corner, no one else seems to score. And they can't hang on to lead, so they can't defend. And the away form is poor. Well, those have been the same problems here for, what, 5 years, 10 years, probably since they last won the title. Yeah. So it needs a manager to come in here and maybe rip it all up and start all over again, like Wenger did in the last century.
Nice. Anyway, right, Laura and Darren, Emery needs to be sacked tonight. He can't communicate. Listen to his press conferences. Yep. Bring in Mourinho as a stopgap now. Okay. Oh, for a start, you can't bring in Mourinho as a stopgap. No. Jose Mourinho isn't a stopgap. Secondly, has he got a point with communication? I've seen a lot of these clips from training go around. I've heard people like Robin van Persie on BT talking about how he doesn't understand what he's saying. How can the players expect him to understand? Is there a communication problem between Emery and the players?
Yeah, potentially.
From what you can see?
Potentially, but I don't like really... obviously, his language is not great. I don't really like, obviously, pointing the finger at that. But
he's learning, isn't he?
Yeah, he's learning. But what I will say is sometimes with his interviews that he talks a lot without actually saying anything. Do you know what I mean? He
kind of a tactic, though? I think so.
Yeah. Like he talks in kind of riddles where you're just thinking, we'll get to the point. What exactly are you saying? But for me, I mean, Mourinho, you're right. It's not a stopgap. He's a proper manager, and I would gang at him because he's a born winner. Now, listen, you can talk.
You can talk about
his tactics and the way he plays the game, and people are unhappy with the way he's not evolved. People say, but listen, he knows how to get results. Look at what he's won. Do you know what I mean? His first year at Manchester United, he won 3 trophies. I know people might go, they're not great, but they're still trophies. He's won the league with Chelsea. He's won the Champions League. He knows how to get things right. And at the minute, we don't need a manager that's attacking minded and wants to go and play this free flowing football and leave the back door open. Do you know what I mean? It's too easy. You need someone who's going to start from the back, build a team from the back, and then go forward. Because Arsenal scoring goals is not the issue; it's Arsenal leaking goals is the problem.
I suppose the question is: would you rather win a game 4-3 or 1-0?
I'd rather win a game. It doesn't matter if it's 4-3 or what. I'd rather not be in a 5-5 like in the week and lose. I'd rather win 1-0. It'd be boring for now. And get up the league and get results. I mean, Arsenal fans after a while might get sick of seeing it. But listen, they might look back at this and go, well, you know what? This was the turning point. At least we're now getting closer to Manchester City, Liverpool. No, sorry, that's not even Manchester City or Liverpool. The top four. Do you know what I mean? At the minute, we're talking about Leicester and Chelsea, getting close to them. But playing this brand of football, it's clearly not working. I mean, I'm just looking here at the stats. At home, Arsenal had 10 shots at home. Wolves had 25. That can't happen at home.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Now, we're going to go and speak West Ham. This is Dan Lawless. Welcome to the show. Dan, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, considering, guys. Having me on.
Yeah, considering. Now, you are the host of West Ham TV. I have to ask the question, is it a little bit like Arsenal Fan TV, where you enjoy losing because you get more views?
No, not at all. I mean, West Ham Fan TV. If you go West Ham TV, you get the ropey official channel. But okay. Yeah, no. But no, it's one of them things of I hate it because... when we lose, when we get battered, you can't just go home and forget about the game. You've got to relive it by interviewing every single fan over and over again.
And really dissect it.
Yeah, and you just want to forget about it. But that's the downside to it.
Dan,
it is a bit of therapy.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to dissect it now on national radio. That's where we got you on, apologies. But a few weeks ago, we were talking to West Ham players. They were saying behind the scenes, Mark Noble was saying at Declan Rice that it was a brilliant atmosphere. I think they strung together something like 3 clean sheets in a row, which they hadn't done for a really long time. Where's it all gone wrong now?
Do you know what? It's so hard to say. I mean, obviously, look, we've lost Fabianski, who's a big, big player for us, such a great keeper. But the keeper situation isn't even our biggest problem. It's just the lack of creativity. You know, we've scored 2 goals today, which is flatters us massively. But we really struggle to break things down, teams down. We struggle to create clear-cut chances. And I just don't understand Pellegrini. A lot of the time he's starting lineups and the tactics. And a lot of time it's hard to watch. Just pass. Not enough directness, not enough forward passes. It's really frustrating to watch.
It's difficult you saying that, because when you look at the players at West Ham, we've got like the Felipe Andersons and Haller. Mm. I mean, I thought you finally got a centre forward there. It looks like he can score goals pretty consistent. Lanzini, Yarmolenko. I mean, these are attacking, creative players. Like, what is going on with them guys? I mean, one of the chances I saw Newcastle was Felipe Anderson running back chasing Saint Maximum for one of their chances. So I thought maybe the problem was defensively, because attacking wise, it's quite surprising you saying that you're not creating many chances. Because with them names I just read out, I thought that you'd be creating chances left, right, and centre.
That's the biggest worry. I mean, look at Sebastian Allaire. Like, the guy's brilliant. I mean, but the problem is he thrived playing in a 2 up top at Frankfurt. And now he's so isolated he's up front playing on his own and there's no one near him. You know, he wins knockdowns and there's no one there to pick up the knockdown. So he's expected to win the knockdown, win the ball, and then go and score. And then Anderson as well. Like, the problem is he's on the wing. A lot of the time he'll let Creswell overlap him. So he'll drop back so deep. Where? And now we've got our left back trying to win the final ball and, you know, put the final ball in. So we've got these quality players. I don't know whether it's just the tactics, it's the setup, or their confidence. But something's definitely wrong because our attack is a big problem. I mean, the defence there, the thing is, we're playing a high line.
Yeah.
Newcastle's counter-attacking game just...
That was going to be my next question, because when I was obviously watching the game first half, Newcastle were flying forward at will. And even when you look at the possession and the stats and stuff, it's all West Ham dominant, but they conceded that many chances. I mean, first half, the game should have been out of sight.
Yeah, exactly. They had 2 1-on-1s, which, you know, you've got to give credit to the keeper. Yeah. You know, he made the save. But the decision to start Zabaleta again is baffling. We have one of the fastest players in the league with Fredericks.
Yeah.
And he's starting Zabaleta. Look how quick their attacking players are, their wingers, Newcastle, and you're playing Zabaleta, who's what, 34?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand it.
Mm. Dan, obviously that comes down to the manager's decision and his team selection. Are the fans starting to turn on Manuel Pellegrini now?
Look, I mean, we interviewed quite a few fans today, and the majority want him gone now, you know. The majority have had enough. You know, I'm not quite in that camp yet. I don't see the point of sacking Pellegrini right now. We're not looking like we're in a relegation battle yet. Who else are we going to bring in? But a lot of fans are at that point now where they just want him. They want him to go. They've had enough and they think it's time for a change.
There's not many easy games in the Premier League. But your next game, you've got to go to Turf Moor. That's going to be really tough, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what? I see us losing there and then Spurs roll around and what happens? We step up our game, we smash Spurs and everything's all hunky-dory again, isn't it? That's typical. I mean, we don't do well at Burnley, but yeah, you can bank on us turning up for Spurs, which is frustrating.
This is the problem, isn't it? Is this inconsistency that seems to be plaguing you?
Yeah, we looked like we was finally getting somewhere. You know, obviously the last win was the Man United game, which was like 6 games ago. But after Man United, we was on cloud 9. And now, you know, it's all looking doom and gloom again. And I just don't know, going forward, what the solution is, because it looks like the same situation we had under Moyes, Bilic, where we got a Big Sam. It's just nothing seems to change. We've spent a lot of money here, and that's the big frustration. We've spent, you know, some serious money for some quality, and it's just not where we need it to be.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Talking of Liverpool, they turned it around. They were losing 1-0 here at Aston Villa. Andy Robertson's far post header equalised for them. And in injury time, Sadio Mane got the winner for Liverpool and their fans went crazy, as you would imagine. Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool manager, spoke afterwards with Talk Sport's Tom Ross.
Lots of teams at 1-1, right late in the game, would settle for the point, but your team didn't. Your team were always trying to win it, even in stoppage time.
Yeah. Well, it's not that we talk about it like this and say, boys, if there's, you see, 90 plus 2 and it's 1-1, we go with all we have. We try. Of course we try. We don't want to open up in the back and stuff like this. But when we have the ball, we always try to score if it's the 92nd, 93rd, or it's the 15th minute. So it doesn't change too much. Look, I know it happened now quite often for us, but still not often enough to be 100% honest, but often. And we just don't, I don't want to talk about it in the wrong way that it's like for us it will always happen, because it doesn't. There will be moments when it does not work. We have to make sure that we don't come in that situation too often where we have to score in extra time. But how we always said, there's so much space for improvement for us, and hopefully we use the time smart.
Just finally, adversity there for you. You had a goal ruled out that most people watching thought it was a good goal, but you still kept going and going, and second half dominated the game. And, you know, I suppose you'd be probably thinking just reward in the end.
Look, in a game you don't know exactly. We thought it's a goal, to be honest, but that's our view. So it was
most people did.
Yeah, it was clear. It was really close, and then you cannot change it. I think it was may have a handball target, blocks a shot. So that's how it is. We have to accept things like this. I don't think we were. It doesn't pull too much on us in all directions. We when you saw the whole team, 1-0 for them. Celebrating, ball is there, okay, wait. Everybody was like excited. We were 0-0. We accept that maybe it's a goal, then we have to carry on. If not a goal, then we can still think about it. So everybody was calm. So I liked that a lot. Yeah, and then we started chasing the game.
There you go, Jurgen Klopp with TalkSport's Tom Ross after the game. Tom is with me here at Villa Park. Actually, before we talk about the game, and I've just shown Tom a picture of the VAR offside, which ruled out Firmino's goal. I've sent the picture to Mickey Gray as well. I'm just trying to remember your reply, Mickey. Was it clean? It was. Was it? That's a disgrace, yeah. You said. I mean, Firmino was the goal was ruled out for offside. It's an extraordinary decision, and we're looking at it again, Tom. I mean, at the time we were a bit dubious, weren't we? But
I thought it was a good goal. But I have to say, don't blame VAR, blame the rules. Because if the rules are that if you are an inch offside, you're offside, then VAR's not the problem. The IAFP is who make the rules.
Yeah.
So it should be clear advantage to the striker. In other words, he should have clear daylight between him and the defender, then he's offside and he's got an advantage. That's a nonsense, let's be fair.
Well, Mickey, I mean, I understand what, I totally get what you're saying. You're absolutely correct. Is offside, you know, a bit like goal line technology? You're either off or you're not. Or should there be a bit more leeway? Does that mean the rule has to change, or does it mean we can't apply VAR to offside, Mickey?
Well, the rule's not going to change, Adrian, this season, or I personally don't think it is. So why are we still getting this inconsistency? Right, we brought VAR in, and I'm sure it wasn't cheap. You know, as they've spent millions and millions of pounds, it's took a long time for us to get VAR. I think everybody had a vote. I think it was all the clubs had a vote and say that they wanted it in. Now, every single week, we might be seeing a great football game or we might be seeing an average football game. But for 70% of the time, all we seem to talk about is VAR. It's doing my nutting because, I mean, I just want to be talking about a great game of football. Yes, you just sent me that picture, Adrian, and I'll watch it later on and probably make my own mind up. But he looks as if he's in offside position. So why can somebody not call down to the referee and say, look, he's offside? It doesn't make sense to me. What is the point in having it if they're not going to use it in certain situations? It's the same thing with the cameras on the side of the pitch. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. If you've got cameras on the side of the pitch, why not use them? It doesn't make sense to me because it's right in front of the referee. He's the one who's refereeing the game. He's got a camera in front of him. If he's made a mistake or somebody's told him he's made a mistake, surely you want to see the mistake that you've made. So you come across to the side of the pitch and you have a look at that camera. And I don't know what the problem is. Are they just trying to keep the game flowing? Because I think it was Martin Atkinson. I think that was talking to somebody about Martin Atkinson yesterday. If he thinks, or somebody thinks that he's made a mistake, you come across to the side of the pitch, you have a look at the mistake that they think you've made, and then you either say to the people in the room at Stockley Park and you go, right, you're correct, I've made a mistake, I'm going to reverse that decision I've just made, or you go, no, I'm sticking with my decision, because when the ball was played he was in an onside position. Why have VAR, why have the cameras, why are we having this conversation yet again about a stupid decision that could have won or lost or drawn a game for Aston Villa today?
I'm told, Mickey, I was told by a Premier League referee like yourself that they have to be invited to look. Referee can't just decide to go to the side and look.
Well, no one's been invited yet, Tom, have they?
No, exactly. But he has to be invited by... So you actually question who's refereeing the game, the man in the studio or the man on the pitch.
It's like going round Adrian's for a cup of tea. I've never been invited round there either.
Is the invite in the post?
Hey, that makes two of us, but I know a squirrel who's been invited.
We were attacked by a squirrel today. That's breaking news.
But seriously, VAR is taken away. But... You know,
it did take away. There was a great atmosphere in here today.
Wonderful. Let's,
but in those moments, there were a couple of VAR things.
Can I say something else? Where was VAR when you need it? You don't need it for facts. Factual things that have happened. You need it for things that you can't see. Like, for example, should Sadio Mane have been on the pitch to score that goal? He's been booked for simulation. Not long afterwards, and you could see clearly, he tugs an Aston Villa shirt.
Yep.
He tugs a shirt. That should have been a second yellow, and he's off the pitch and he doesn't score. Do you see what? Now, that's where you want VAR.
Mm.
That's where you need VAR.
I think that is, it's a great point, and he did get away with it there, but it was a wonderful, wonderful header, Tom. Listen, I think that we've just had the perfect tweet from a Villa fan. Glenn Pinson has tweeted us at TalkSport Drive. He says, I'm a Villa season ticket holder. Liverpool's class got the win in the end, but I'm so proud of Villa. Well played, Liverpool. Your fans were class. It was a brilliant winner from Liverpool. A fantastic header from Mane. I mean, I think it's quite breathtaking. Without being like a 30-yard thunderbolt into the top corner, it's just a wonderful technique from him.
It was an amazing goal. But if that was England against Argentina, we'd have been saying, should he have been on the pitch to score the winner against England? That's the reality. And you want a fair game called, that should have been a... Mane should have had a second yellow and been off the park, in my opinion.
Game day.
The biggest football league in the world.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.